coming to you live from my apartment. It's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who thinks that if Brent didn't have any female friends before tonight, I don't think that he's likely to have too many after. I am Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to our Sunday night recap, Big Brother 23. As we're rolling along, Xavier's nominations are in, and it's Brittany, and it is Brent that are on the block this week and here to talk about a wild card competition and more. We've got a great panel, starting off with our chief Big Brother correspondent, never pawn material. Here he is. It's Taryn Armstrong. Taryn, how are you?
Rob, I think I don't know if I'm chief material either. I think we need to beef this up a bit.
What do we do?
You know what, Rob? I refused the chief moniker, and I demand something better.
Okay. What do you want?
This is not my problem, Rob. This is your problem.
Okay. Let me go back to the team. We'll talk it over. We'll get back to you. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Very excited. Anytime that we get a chance to talk about Big Brother with Aman. Aman, how are you?
Hello. So excited to be back. This season has been giving. I so thought that you were about to say it's Brittany, bitch, when you said Brittany and Brent were on the block today, Rob. But, you know, it's fine. Hashtag free Brittany.
Yes, free Brittany. Yes. Free her of this. This house is controlling her.
Yes.
Yes.
Brittany.
Get her back out there. How you doing, Aman?
I'm great. I'm excited to talk about Big Brother tonight. I think tonight was a decent episode. And so, yeah, I'm, you know, here soaking up BB23 along with the rest of you guys.
Okay. All right. Here we'll have some fun stuff to talk about. All right. And then joining us from the wrestling wrap up, here is the great Mari Forth. Mari, how are you?
Hey, guys. Hey, everyone. I'm just happy to be here, you know. I don't mind sitting on the block. If you asked me to sit on the block, Rob, I'd sit on the block for you, and I wouldn't make a big deal about it. But that's just me.
No, we can't. Yeah. That's not our plan, Mari.
Just put me up.
No. Rob. We have somebody else is going to go on the block.
Mari, you're not pawn material either.
Yeah.
Put me up. Just put me up. BB23 has been really good so far. I mean, it's like everything we wanted. It's what we got from BB Can 9, but also just a lot of just players in the house. I don't know. It's just been really good. I'm loving this. This has been amazing, honestly.
Okay, great. Well, a lot to talk about. Good to have you here with us. Of course, you can send your questions anytime. Robswebsite.com/BBQuestions. On Monday, we'll be back with another edition of The Slop for the patrons of Rob as a Podcast. Got any sloppy stories of Big Brother, whether it's from the live feeds or Twitter, the Big Brother alumni, you name it. Send your submissions in. If you see slop happening, robhasawebsite.com/getsloppy. I'll be live with Jason Reed tomorrow night for the week 3 edition of The Slop. Okay. We had our nominations here tonight. And, of course, that the big drama came up of, Brent was the foregone conclusion. Who was going to sit next to Brent? Was it going to be Brittany? Asa comes along. I know there's been a lot of talk about this. Taryn, let me start there and talk about the decision from Asa wants to go on the block for Brittany. And I know that a lot of people have talked about this over the weekend with the live feed updates and on Twitter about, you know, it's Asa's head in the game. But could you just talk me through, why not just put Asa up on the block? I mean, isn't that a good plan? Because doesn't it help hide the cookout?
It could theoretically help hide the cookout, but Kyland actually ran into this problem in the first week when he actually wanted to stay on the block. He didn't want Derek X to use the veto on him, and he was going to propose this plan, and he was told by, I believe it was Asa herself, no, we can't have you on the block, because then if if the votes get weird and we have to all six of us save you, or you know, five remaining of them save you, then our numbers will be exposed, and it's essentially like a weak point in the alliance. We may have to end up exposing ourselves. There's a very, very plausible reason why Brittany would go up on the block, and it helps keep the focus away from Azza to put Brittany on instead of her. So it's I think better for the alliance at large to avoid putting her on the block here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but if it drives such a wedge, like if I kind of understood what Azza was saying in that, like, don't make me go through another week of having Brittany crying. I can't do this another week. I would rather be on the block.
Go through the week of crying. Like, who cares? Like, I'm like, look, like, I love that Azza has this big, gigantic heart. I love it. Uh-huh. Great for you. That's beautiful. Rah, rah for Azza. But to volunteer yourself to go up on the block, girl, why? And when and how and who and what and where? Why would you do this? It's the most stupid thing, all because you are upset that Brittany is going to be upset. Let her be upset. Mm-hmm. And the same thing is going to end up happening to you if you decide to go ahead and do this. It's just going to make it easier for the next HOH to put you up on the block. So it was clearly a lapse in judgment for Azza, this and that whole scene, but I'm glad that she's sort of calmed down from that now, seemingly.
Yeah, and also it's just a little bit too early to be getting upset that your parachute is just the pawn, because again, can we just point out here that this was literally to be a pawn, and not just like a pawn in a precarious situation, a pawn against somebody who literally the whole entire house wants out. So one of the most secure upon situations you can get in. So it was just kind of like, Azza, girl, like, get it together. Unfortunately, the Jokers have not had the power since Frenchie won week one. And even when Frenchie won it week one, he never consulted the Jokers at all. So they were never included in any of the power. So at this point, you have to roll with the punches that you're given. And her and Brittany's behavior this week is just, it's just making you guys targets. Okay, you don't want to be the pawn. Now you're the target.
Hmm. Yeah, I just was thinking, like, if you were the HOH, it's like your dream scenario that somebody comes to you and says, okay, I'll go on the block, like, make me the pawn this week. And yet, like, I guess everything could go sideways, and maybe there's like a worst case scenario where the cookout might have to vote to save Azza. But you know, I just feel like there was like a lot of an upside to potentially put her up there.
It's also worth noting, I think, that this proposal came probably like 30 minutes before he had to go make nominations. And he had already, you know, come up with an entire plan that he had told everyone was on board with.
Yep.
Nobody would have been on board with putting Azza up. Maybe it would have been okay like by Azza, but Tiffany and Kyland and a bunch of other people would have been like, what the hell? No. Mm-hmm. What are you doing? Especially if he made that call without fully, like, properly consulting them. So there was really no way to make this work in a way that made sense, I think, to Xavier.
Yeah, and 30 minutes before he had to go ahead and make the nominations, and like almost like an hour after, already speaking to everybody else, like Taryn just said, like he already told everybody else what he was going to do. I kind of felt like he was avoiding talking to Azza a little bit until the end, because Tiffany had already came in and told him, like, look, Azza's on some shit right now. Azza is feeling a type of way right now. Mm-hmm. And so you're going to just be aware of that. So he already was kind of like prepped and primed before he even had to speak with her. So it wasn't going to happen. And plus, like they had a conversation about, like, they see the vision, they have a cause, they really are interested in getting all of the cookout to at least jury. So putting Azza up,
it's a risk, not worth it. Yeah.
It doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
So we started off the episode with a lot of the talk about just resetting. Did you know that the Kings and the Queens are working together with Derek X?
Yeah, remember when we showed you that in the episodes? Remember? Mm-hmm. Remember? Remember that? We showed you, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
they set that up again, and we get just more setting up of what's going on here, being a really a foregone conclusion for Brent going up on the block. We really get into the burying Brent of it all.
Yeah. This brings me back, Rob, way back, probably, what, it's like 5 years ago now, when we were on the episodes like, man, when is the edit going to drop Pauly? Pauly Califuri here is a menace on the feeds, and they are still acting like he's the golden boy. Lo and behold, as soon as he loses power in the game, the episode drops that Pauly Califuri is not one to be admired anymore. Similarly, I think here with Brent, now that he is looking like he's on his way out the door, it's time to drop him. And here we go. We are going all in. This guy is a creep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Full court press.
The editors were having a great time with their montages this week. They were like, montage, montage, montage. Let's tell you how much everybody doesn't like Brent in this hefty, nifty montage. And not only that, but they sprinkled the DRs, the poorly timed DRs, every chance they got. This was pretty funny. They pulled no punches. Brent was going down. He was truly, well and truly buried, for all my wrestling fans out there. Well and truly.
Yeah.
Honestly, it felt like kind of hard to believe at times, because I was like, are you really in the DR saying, oh yeah, I feel safe, I'm good, like, yeah, this is going to be great. Like, the producers are setting your ass up. Oh my God. I was just like, damn, like, are you really this clueless? But judging by his behavior with like half the women in that house, yes, yeah, you are that clueless.
So cleverly put together as well, because they started on the sort of theory of his, the scientific theory, that men cannot be platonic friends with women.
Yeah, here's the
my
quote.
Poor female.
Here's
okay,
the,
here
here's
we go.
The quote. There.
Oh, yeah,
here we men, go. We will always take an opportunity to make a pass with someone we find attractive, but it's the truth. It just is what it is.
Just is what it is.
It's the truth. We yeah. men. Music. Now, it's just the way we
look,
are.
Taryn, you may not like it, but you know, there's been a lot of research done in this field.
But there's a lot of documents and books written on the subject, and it's pretty wild.
A lot of documents and books written on the subject, and it
How
is
many blog
wild.
Posts do you think he's read? Two. Hmm. I think two blog posts, probably. I think that's where it comes from.
Is this real? Is this real? Like, I'm really having a hard time trying to figure this out. Is he actually for real? I mean, he must be, because this behavior has been consistent since July 7th. So it must be. Mm-hmm. But it just feels so strange to me that someone is this out of touch.
This is what I'm saying, though, Amon. They bookended this perfectly, because they open it on that theory and then they end the whole segment with him explaining that he has no female friends. That's never something that he's done before. And it's like, oh, that explains a lot, actually. Mm-hmm. Like, okay.
We got that part of the conversation with Hannah. We got a little bit of the conversation with Alyssa about the misunderstanding, which I only knew where this was from because you talked about it on the live feed update the other day, the conversation about how he mistook when Alyssa said that everybody, people wanted to date her. He took that as anybody that's trying to work with her in the house always tries to want to date her.
Yeah, he pulls her aside. He's like, just so you know, I don't want to work with you just because I want to date you. That's not what I'm doing here. She's mm-hmm. like, what are you talking about? Oh, I was reading your lips in that very private, intimate conversation you were having with Christian, you know, your house boyfriend. And I just wanted to let you know that it's not just because I want to date you that I want to work with you. And she is incredibly creeped out, as I think most people would be.
Yeah.
And she was like, you didn't read my lips correctly.
Your head was turned. I was reading half a lip.
He was like, yeah. So you did all this work behind the scenes to get all this dirt and you still got it wrong. Like, what are you doing, sir? Like, I love that the Big Brother Twitter account tweeted out like, oh yeah, clearly Brent forgot that he's on Big Brother and not on Love Island. I'm like, no, y'all did. Y'all were right. Supposed to put him on Love Island. Y'all. We didn't ask for this.
You can't be in on that, yeah. Joke. CBS. Yeah.
You found him.
Like, y'all brought him to us, okay?
He should be in Casa Amor right now. This is
yes. Know. Yes. Oh, that would right be now. Huge. It would be huge. Mm-hmm. It's not too late, CBS.
It's really not.
Yeah.
He's about to be up out of here. I mean, what's the turnover rate? Like, let's get it cracking.
And not to mention also, Whitney also gets a shot to talk about how gross she thinks Brent is also, where that up until this point, I think, a lot of the viewers of the show thought like, okay, well, that's a duo. That's a pair in the house.
I don't know that even the episode viewers would have thought that. I think the episode viewers, the last I heard from them, they were like, Hannah and Brent, we're shipping. Yay. Like, because they had that one like weird semi flirty conversation on the show. But it certainly is news. It was news to the house that Whitney was so anti Brent. I think, perhaps the episode viewers might be a little surprised as well, but I think the episode viewers are probably more surprised by Hannah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hannah was the MVP of the segment. I think she really came in and really read Brent here.
Even though he thinks he's all that in a bag of chips, he's barely a cracker. So get it together.
Wow.
Get it together.
Barely. I mean, crackers are already sort of, the blandest thing you can go for. So the fact that you are barely one is like, damn, what an indictment.
Also in this segment, we saw Brent talk to Xavier, and I was a little confused about what he's trying to say here.
I only aspire to be what my hair has been, and that's laid.
His hair is laid?
Oh. Yeah, that's not how you use that.
Yeah, that's typically like not how... It that, means that your hair is like... Mari, how about you take
it? Yeah, I mean, like, for the culture, when your hair is laid, it's like you just got it done. Maybe you got the baby hairs nice and curly and looking good. But his hair has never been laid. If anything, it like stands straight up. So I don't understand this. I don't understand, sir.
There is clearly somebody in his life that has used him around that before, used that around him before, and he was like, "Oh, that sounds cool."
Yeah.
This is one example of Brent's sense of humor, which is sexual innuendo that kind of makes sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, wait, yes. I know that word.
Erotic.
Yeah.
Yeah. incorrect use of AAVE there. That's what
exactly.
That was. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But that's really all we get from Brent in this episode. We just get like this montage, and then we see him pop up at the end of the episode to try to like tell Xavier how he's not pawn material. That was really it.
Yeah. They dropped. They were like, we did what with his edit? Nah, we don't even know this guy. he sucks. We did not. We definitely did not have a whole segment about don't judge a book by its cover because he's actually great. That was not us that did that. He's barely even on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it really is a very sharp turnaround because, I mean, he's barely in the edit to begin with, aside from the whole thing with Frenchie, and then all of a sudden Sunday comes around and he is just enemy number one. So, I mean, I shout out to Peridium. I did his top four contenders for the crown video on YouTube this past week. And there were a couple people in the comments saying, I can't believe that Brent's not a contender. I'm like, you clearly do not watch the feeds because girl, it's not happening.
We see Tiffany is going to come in and talk to Xavier and they're talking about putting Brent up on the block. This was really wild. We got to see some cam talking from Tiffany in the episode. And Mari, this is very rare.
Oh my God. This was so amazing to me. I was like yelling. I was like, yes, Tiffany Mitchell, you do it, girl. I love it. I loved every minute of it. I was like, oh, big Daniel Reyes vibes. I wonder if the casuals are going to get that comparison, but she's so funny. I love how she was just laying out how she felt about all the people in the house. And then the whole Whitney, that was just a perfect moment. She goes and kind of talks to Whitney for a second and then comes back. I don't trust her. It was so funny. I'm so glad they included that in the episode. I'm really interested to see, you know, what, again, some of the casual viewers, the viewers who don't watch the feed, think about that segment. But I just thought it was perfectly aligned with giving Tiffany, they gave her a lot of TV time in this episode. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They attributed a lot of this stuff to her. So I'm excited. I'm so glad she's on this season, like for real. Mm-hmm.
Taryn, go ahead, Aman.
I was going to say, I think that the producers are sort of playing ball with us. I think that they really know, you know, mm-hmm. Tiffany is a force in this season, and they know that we love to watch her. And I also think that Tiffany knows, as someone that we now know has been in these Twitter streets with us, she knows that we like to see players talk to the cams. So the fact that she's doing it, the fact that they're airing it, it really is, I think, a really nice push in a good direction for editing as far as Big Brother is concerned. So
yeah,
I loved it.
Taryn, we don't get this a lot. I feel like that if we ever get it on the show, it's sort of like that they like make like a segment out of it of like, oh, it's the Cliff TV show. Like, mm-hmm. like that. They didn't do that. They just like let it sit and let it be.
It's a rare moment on the show where it felt like I was watching the feeds again. Mm-hmm. Of course, I'm almost always seeing things I've seen before when I'm watching the episodes, but this felt like this is what I watched. Like, and this was a very compelling moment when I watched it on the feeds. And so I think that they know what they have with Tiffany. I mean, you know, last week I was like, she is a star. And I think they know that they have a star because this is a rare combination of somebody who is great at the game and doing really well and also really, really dynamic and amazing in the diary room and when she's by herself talking to the cameras. And so any amount of Tiffany that they can put in there, I think we are going to continue to get until the time when she's not there anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely leaning on Tiffany so far this season. Got some showmance set up. You know, Frenchie Amon, he was the showmance killer. He came in. He had one mission. Well, he had many missions. But among his many missions,
plenty
no showmances yes. this season.
And he ended up being the godfather of one. I mean, if there was one way to push two people together, it's to, you know, put one of them on the block and say it's because y'all are about to be a showmance. Like that's the ultimate showmance creator. Okay. Christian and Alyssa, they're out here. They are. just yesterday they were up in Xavier's HOH bed and couch. Yeah. Making out. Mm-hmm. So
I think we'll get that like on the next episode. We'll get a lot more Christian and Alyssa, and and that's such a great point, Amon, because once you get accused of being in a showmance and targeted for being in a showmance when you're not in a showmance, and then you have to fight that, you might as well do it. Like we might as well make out while we're getting accused of it. So I also liked how they started shipping Hannah and Derek X, and they're like, oh, remember when we said Hannah and Brent the other day? Forget that.
Don't worry about that one.
The Christian Alyssa thing is big vibes of like you will not date that man, young woman. Ooh, watch me, Frenchie.
Yeah, it's literally don't think of elephants. What you gonna do? You gonna think of the damn elephant? Like now, here they are.
Yeah. Taryn and I got to talk to Frenchie on Friday in the exit interview. I asked Frenchie if he was going to be on social media anytime soon. He said no, he's going to be taking a break. But I guarantee you, when he comes back, he's going to say, I called it. I daggone called it.
I tried.
Yeah.
I did my best.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be the one thing that Frenchie is like, yeah, I told y'all. We're not going to hear anything else about him promising everyone's safety. It's going to be, no, I told y'all about Christian and Alyssa. Y'all didn't listen to me. And now look.
And if something happens and Christian and Alyssa, you know, make it in the long run outside of the house, you're going to still have Frenchie popping up like 5 years later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, watch
name your baby
them.
After me.
Is this the wedding? So what is the royalty situation on this this wedding?
Is there anyone here that objects to the marriage of this man and this? Ah, daggone object! I said it. I was the showman's killer.
No showman.
They said I was crazy. Now,
like, sir, can you please leave?
Christian and Alyssa had a conversation in the episode tonight. I want to play a piece of that.
What's a bad habit you have?
Like popping your zits in the mirror. That's gross.
That's not gross.
Now, okay, that's not gross. Popping your zits in the mirror. Alyssa says that's not gross, but then it takes a turn.
But if you leave it there, it's gross.
Ew.
Yeah, but then if you leave it there, it's gross. She says that is gross. Mara, yeah, you say you've watched Dr. Pimple Popper, right?
Yes. Yes, I have. One of my favorite shows.
Yes.
I hope he's not popping any pimples that size and leaving it on the mirror. That's weird. That is weird. That is gross. Yeah, I will agree with that.
Yeah.
So when he said he does it in the mirror, he meant literally like on the mirror. Because I was initially imagining just like, yeah, you're looking at yourself in the mirror. But he meant like, let me aim.
No. Yeah.
Yes.
I don't know.
The projector.
And then leave it there.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, they had a conversation, I think, earlier today where she was popping his, you know, and you know, he was like, this is gross. And she was like, no, it's not gross. It's just like I don't there's always an obsession with this in the house. I don't get it.
Yeah,
you know, at the risk of sounding vain, I've never really had to pop a pimple before. Is it a ballistic type event? Is there like, you know, some force that comes out when it happens, or is it kind of just like an oozing type moment? Like what's the logistics here? I've never really known.
The chat isn't going for this conversation.
Yeah. You know, I don't know. I don't know. Like that should you, if you have a blemish like that, I wish that I knew, like, if you should take care of it yourself or if you should leave it there.
But there's a lot of documents and books written on the subject, and it's pretty wild.
Okay. I'll have to do some research.
He's got documents, baby.
All right. Mari, you brought up Derek X and Hannah. And yeah, I think that this is like the traditional, like, you know, like there's two types of Big Brother showmances. They're sort of like the just like pure chemistry. They see each other. It's hot and heavy pretty much from the jump. Jess and Cody's of the world's like, hey, you're hot, I'm hot.
People in the house, yeah. Let's hook up.
Yeah. But then there's like the one that's like gonna take a while to develop. That's the Derek X and the Hannah.
Yeah, Derek X and Hannah, it's like a kind of like a Danielle and Dominic. Witty banter. I love them showing Derek X telling Hannah she should ask him to the prom, and then she asks him, he says no. I love their back and forth. They do have that exact same sense of humor, that like dry wit type of thing. And them talking is just, I could sit and watch it on the feeds all the time, and the feeds aren't showing us them. They're showing us Christian and Alyssa. But, you know, if they give us more, I don't know, Dana X, I saw that, or Herrick, I don't know, whatever the ship name is, I want more of it, please and thank you.
Well, one added benefit of Derek and Hannah is that they don't pop each other's zits. It's not something that they would do. I think that's the true test of a showmance. Like, is it a good showmance or a bad showmance on Big Brother? The answer to that is in the form of another question. do they pop each other's zits?
Oh.
Boom. Easy answer. Yeah, this is this next, is great.
Jeff question. Rather pop a zit that's bigger than you or
pop not a deal with them at all.
Are you happy with your current relationship with zits?
Would you rather pop one zit and be done with them, or would you rather have a giant zit? What about Jeff and Jordan? Tyron, were you watching the live feeds then? Do we know the answer to that?
I was. I don't believe I ever saw them popping each other's zits. I think they were more of like, you know, she was saying funny things and he was making fun of the funny things she was saying. And and then he was yelling about, you know, Technotronics.
And other things. Okay.
They're great, though. Derek and Hannah, very fun. A lot of people are rooting for this showmance. Hannah is in a situation where she has a crush on Derek. I think that he, as he said in the diary room, is inclined to be like, however... He also had a recent situation with a with a girl in Hawaii, and so I'm I don't know how far this will go. It may be something that requires more time in the house for him to like really get over that situation or something along those lines. But this is a storyline that a lot of people are invested in.
Okay, all right, a developing story for sure. All right,
Waiting to see if he's been laid.
Let's talk about the wild card competition tonight. Now, we haven't talked about this yet on this show. You notice that there is a wild card comp theme song?
Wild card.
Yeah, here we go. Wild card.
I guess I'm still partial to the BB Takeover theme more than anything, or the care package just yelling at you. I like that one, BB Care Package.
I don't think I've ever seen Taryn do that before. I kind of want you to play it again just so that we can do that again.
It's going to be a full screen.
I'm doing the island.
Did that play the last two times? I don't think it did it?
I'm pretty sure it did, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. I guess I just went over my head. Okay. All right.
It's a very, very catchy song.
Wild card.
Yeah. All right. The queens and the jokers, they very quickly come to a quick decision. It's going to be Tiffany. It's going to be Brittany. Derek X is going to do it. He wants to throw it to Tiffany because for a number of reasons. One, afraid that maybe Brent might have to be safe if he ultimately ends up winning it. And then there's, a non-zero chance he could go up on the block.
Yes. This is
if Brittany is ultimately is safe.
Yeah, this is one of those situations where, everything lined up for Big Brother this week, where there was a very specific set of circumstances that the house guests were looking for. They needed Brittany to lose, and they needed Derek X to then throw it. Only Tiffany winning was the scenario that was acceptable. And so with that in mind, it was a competition where they could collude and try to get a specific outcome to happen. And everyone was watching and everyone could see what was happening. And so everything really came together really nicely for drama to play out with how this competition goes.
All right. We get the game Unlucky 13. This was, I thought, a pretty strategic game for Big Brother. Mari, do you like Unlucky 13? Yeah.
I love this. I really like this. Like, it was like a mental component with the cards and the counting and the quick maths. But it also had the physical component of the balance beam and stuff like that. And I thought it was a very a comp that anybody could have won. So I really, really liked it. We love when we get this Survivor style show your cards type target person. Mm-hmm. Comp. So I loved everything about this. And whoa, especially since we got all the buildup on the feeds on this happened in the wild card. And so that's why so many people were mad. And so I was like, yes, I can't wait to see this comp to see what happened. And I was like, floored at some of the stuff that happened.
Yeah. There were some twists and turns along the way. The highlight, Aman, was that Brittany could have knocked out Derek X.
Yeah, I mean, the feeds came back on a Friday, and I thought that it was just like a complete blowout for Brittany, but there was definitely ample opportunity for her to do what needed to be done. But on the same token, look, quick math for me is as slow as the days are long. Like, it, sometimes I just don't be getting it. It don't be clicking. And so I don't want to, like, you know, dog her out over her panicked state. But yeah,
I fully hear that. And like, I'm not here to rag on anybody for screwing up in a competition. You know, we can talk about Rockstar for that. But the thing is, and the thing that really like blew my mind when I watched this was that all week long, ever since this competition, we have been hearing from Brittany that she would have won that competition if they hadn't ganged up on her, and that she had no chance whatsoever to win because they played unfairly and cheated the competition, and that there was no way that she could have possibly won because of that. And then when I see that she was one move away from eliminating Derek X from the competition, I was like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, the math literally.
Wow. Literally.
It's not mapping.
Yeah.
It's not adding up, sis. It's not.
And then again, we have the whole house watching, and they're like, it's like watching a horror movie. Like, no. What are you doing? No, don't go in there. Don't do it. No,
like, you made me, like,
which, no,
it just made me so mad, and I know that I should be mad, but it's like, of course y'all are gonna be sitting there saying that while y'all are wrapped up on the couch. Like, just change the card. She's under pressure, okay?
She said 12. She knew it added up to 12.
Yeah, she did.
It wasn't even the math, like, it was right there.
Sorry. Yeah, wow.
If you know it, add up to 12. You have the card in your hand. Take out one that has one more. It's like, you don't even have to do the math. But I also wanted to see if they were going to confirm something else that Brittany had said on the feeds, that her and Tiffany had agreed to go after Derek X.
Yeah.
We didn't get that here, so I don't know if they'll bring it up in the next episode, and if they have the footage, they'll flash back to it. But we didn't see that, so I was also like, okay, girl.
Yeah, so okay. This is something that's been talked about a little bit. So Brittany's side of the story essentially is that Tiffany approached her and said, hey, let's work together against Derek X. And then competition happens and her and Derek X are working against Brittany. Oh, the betrayal. Tiffany's side of the story, which at this point I'm finding immensely more believable, is that Brittany approached Tiffany with, hey, let's go after Derek X first. And Tiffany was like, sure. And then they went on and did the competition in the correct way. And Tiffany was like, what was I supposed to say to her? Like, no. I think that's what happened. But Brittany came away from that with the sort of at least impression that, like, I had a lock solid agreement with Tiffany. Why would she agree to work with me? Why would she approach me? And it turns into approach to work with me to go against Derek X and then go back on it. These things then blow up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do we know that if in this game, if you got a card that you didn't want, did you have to take the top card? Like, were you able to like go through your deck?
Yeah, I was a little confused about that.
Take a card off and just like chuck it.
Was I
right? I was wondering about that as well.
I'm assuming so, because if you could pick which card, I don't think they would have had cards that didn't work. If that makes sense. So I assume that they just had to draw one, look at it. Okay. What am I going to do with this? I could put it here. I could put it here, which I think makes more sense. I will say as well, I thought this was a great competition. I loved the balance beam and how it worked. It wasn't just like a straight, boring balance beam. It tipped. I thought that was great.
I love how Derek X kept trying to use his hand to steady it. And that was not cooperating, honey. I was like, you keep trying, but it's not working, honey.
And I love how it did take a little bit of math. It took some strategy as well. Like, which cards am I going to, like, what cards are best for defense? What cards are best for offense? On top of all of that, there was the added social element. This is one of those rare circumstances where I feel like this competition encompassed almost every aspect of competition.
Everything.
Yeah. Yep. And so I really enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm. All right. Tiffany is going to win and she's going to get an offer. And okay, I couldn't believe we went to a commercial break over this about is Tiffany going to take this offer? If she took it, she would be safe, but also she would have to pick somebody from each or a random wheel, right? It was a wheel.
It just said, I think, Game of Chance or something?
Yeah. It would be a Game of Chance.
Game of Chance. Mm-hmm.
A dice.
It probably would have been a wheel.
They love wheels. They love wheels this season. And Mari, Brittany was really incredulous again. She's like, all right, well, I've got a 1 in 3 chance now that Tiffany can save me.
Yeah. And this is... So this is what I definitely wanted to ask the panel, because so is this, again, a twist that is, you know, ultimately useless, because Tiffany ends up not choosing the safety because she doesn't want to limit Xavier's pool, you know? And I mean, I guess if you say if the circumstances hadn't been where we all colluded to get Tiffany to win, and then this one specific twist would have then undid all of that, then maybe if it was a different outcome, then it would have been a cooler twist and it would have actually been used. But it's just kind of like, they always get to a point where they figure out the twist and they just game around it. So I get why she didn't do it. I'm glad she didn't do it. I thought Brittany DRs like, girl, do it. And then you had the Derek X ones like, I hope she doesn't do it, you know, but it just doesn't make sense, because they all knew how chaotic that first week was. And it was because so many people have been taken off of the board for Frenchie to nominate. I mean, that and Frenchie. Mm. But like, why would you want to repeat of that? Because, you know, so many people are taken off the board. So I liked that Tiffany declined it. But I also liked the option. I did like the option of this twist.
Mm-hmm. I just felt like it was like a strange risk reward type thing. Like, I feel like if you take safety and then two other people on the other two teams get safety, I'm like, I guess producers anticipate at this point in the game, there's an intended target. So you don't want to risk the fact that someone that you want out could end up safe. But I don't know. It just didn't really feel like,
yeah.
Like if this had gone any other way and Brent, and there wasn't like a house-wide target, then it feels like sort of like a no-brainer to be like, yeah, I'll show some goodwill and make other like two other people safe. Like, it just didn't, I feel like it happened perfectly for this, for Tiffany to be like, I'm not doing this. You know what I mean? I don't know. It just felt like a very weird twist.
Well, but I mean, that's, I agree.
Big Brother, I guess.
It's sort of what I was saying before, where it's like things really lined up well for this specific outcome. But I think there are other outcomes that it could have worked for. There's potentially like the risk reward of, you know, you can take the safety, but you may be, and like maybe the HOH wasn't looking at you, but you want to be safe just in case, because who wouldn't want to be safe just in case? But in order to do it, you have to maybe piss the HOH off by risking that his actual intended target may be safe. And maybe that's going to put your allies at risk. Do you want to take that safety? If you turn that safety down and then you end up getting backdoored because somebody, some wrong person wins the veto and plans change, now you're going to look like an idiot. So I do think that there are some scenarios. I think that this particular one makes it seem like only this one would have worked because Tiffany was so safe with Xavier. But a lot of week three HOH reigns, you know, you're not going to feel 100% safe. And we could have even seen Brent in this spot be like, you know what? I don't need this safety. I'm good with Xavier. And he might have turned it down. You know, or we could have seen a target win it and feel like, I absolutely need this. And I really hope that by taking this, I'm not screwing over my ally. Hopefully my ally gets, oh crap, the randomness didn't work. Or, you know, whatever it is, right? So there are other things I think that could have played out well. But for, as with most twists, there were probably more situations where it would have been a flop. I think they got lucky with this one.
Right.
All right. After the competition, we're going to see Brittany upset. She couldn't even compete. She didn't even have a shot.
No chance.
Nobody corrected her. Like, did anybody tell her?
Right. I was like, at some point, like being a supportive friend, also means that you have to give them at least a little dose of reality, right? Like, because if you encourage the sort of like, you're right, you had no chance, it's just gonna, I feel like it just makes her feel worse. Like, you're, mm-hmm. cause that's what she felt so bad about, that she had no chance. I don't know. I just feel like they're not doing her any favors emotionally, or, and especially in regards to the game itself, because she's not doing herself any favors in the game, and them encouraging this is not doing her or them any favors in the game.
Yeah.
I feel like this is a very much a cast of, I mean, somebody put it in the chat. It's very much a cast about coddling. Like, it's, even with Xavier, like, he's doing everything in his power to make sure that Brent doesn't think that he's the one to go home, and trying to, you know, really manipulate, you know, the narrative of the week. And it's just, at some point, let's just like call a cat, call a duck and be like, bitch, I want you out, you know,
yeah.
or you're not.
And when Azza brought up that point, I was watching that on the feed, I was like, because I mean, like, okay, Brent blows up, but what does he blow up? Everybody knows about the slaughterhouse from last week. You know what I'm saying? Like what, you know, he can't, his team are the ones who, you know, threw the HOH to make sure that he was on the block. So what could he really do as a actual target on the block that could hurt Xavier's game? I mean, I think Xavier did what he needed to do for his game from his point of view. But I honestly was also thinking about that. Like, okay, so you throw Brent and Whitney up. I think Whitney wouldn't have mind, because she just wanted Brent out. She definitely understands that everybody wants Brent out. So I don't know if there would have been a lot of blowback from Whitney.
Put her up?
Yeah, if he put her up.
Oh, no, she would have been pissed.
So, okay, because I know they're cool, but I'm just saying, like, but she also knows how bad everybody wants Brent out. So if he had approached her like he had approached Brittany and said, hey, I want Brent out, do you mind if you sit next to him? Do you think she would still be pissed?
Yeah, I mean, that would have damaged their relationship irreparably. I mean, they don't have that kind of relationship where she, like, would have just been like, oh, you're nominated. Like, she would have been like, I thought we were cool. Like, what the hell? You know, because really there's no reason for Xavier to not nominate Brittany, especially considering she's already been a pawn. He has no game relationship or personal relationship with her. It just doesn't make any sense for him to nominate really anybody else, but especially, you know, Brittany. Whitney.
Yeah, and I mean, and it's all, he is kind of replaying Frenchie's HOH. He said at the top of the episode he didn't want to replay Frenchie's HOH, but this is kind of replaying it in a sense that he has somebody on the block that he's convincing isn't his target. It wants him there to work with him. You know, and the other person is a target. It's like a mock-up of Frenchie's HOH with a backdrop of Kylan's. It's like a mixture of both of them. And it's like, it's a weird bizarro world of Frenchie's HOH. So I don't know. I think X did everything correctly. I don't think he did anything wrong in a sense, but I just thought, like, Oz is not wrong in saying, like, it's week three, you know, just be upfront. Don't have the whole house doing this whole facade lying to Brent.
Yeah.
And he's not even a jury member. He's not, you know, like, why are we coddling him?
Well, that being said, though, that I do feel like that there is some risk there where if you tell him he's the pawn versus the target before the veto, now you have potentially a guy who could be a competition threat going out. And it's like, all right, this is must win veto for me. My back is against the wall. Maybe not as much trying to do it if he thinks he's the pawn.
Yeah,
but I still feel like he guns for it anyway.
He does. But I think that there's a couple of important things here to mention. One is that Xavier described this himself, both in the diary room in the episode, but also on the feeds. He says he feels like he boxed Brent in, that he gave him a box and he essentially just like let Brent play in it. Right. The box is the story, the narrative that Brent is a pawn. Brent sees that it's fake, but can't stop from seeing the outlines of the box and focusing on them, right? He has spent all week long talking about how obvious a lie it is that he's a pawn. I'm not pawn material. He's so clearly targeting me. He's spending hours and hours convincing people that he's actually the target. And those are hours and hours spent not actually doing any work against Xavier or talking about anything that actually matters, because they already know that and they're lying to Brent about it. So it's really keeping him in this little box that he's made for himself now. Again, even if he knows it's fake. And in addition to that, I think that, I mean, I really think that Azza has the wrong of it here in terms of what she thinks Xavier should do. Because again, it really doesn't make sense for him to nominate Whitney. And I actually do really like the, you know, the facade there, like the idea of like, just put up your two targets and like, let him go at it. Like, that's not really how the game is played, right? Yeah. Like, you know, and I think that Xavier has done a good job of keeping this very tight and under wraps. Like, the week has gone very smoothly. There's a reason why the entire house is playing like 3 weeks in advance right now, because this week is so locked in and Brent is still like five pages behind. And it's in large part because of, you know, this play by Xavier. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, he really has been sort of, I mean, and at some point there were parts where Brent felt as if, I mean, when he was having a conversation with his team and he was like, well, maybe, I don't know, maybe I am actually not the target. Maybe Brittany is the one that's supposed to be out of here. So he really has done a lot of like mental gymnastics with himself, trying to figure out exactly what the best recourse of action here is. But I still ultimately think, I mean, I understand what Azza is saying, and that like, girl,
it's a lot,
and like I'm tired. Like I don't want to. I think this is much more of a characterization of how Azza is just maybe not the best at this game in terms of like you know trying to maneuver relationships, and you know, because she's I mean, she said it all week long about how her face just reads, and mm-hmm. so I think this definitely is very much the story of how Azza has to figure out how to not always be in contention with the people that she's supposed to be aligned with. Mm-hmm. But I got the frustration. I was like, I mean, you're not wrong. You know, like yeah. I mean, where everybody here is playing 3 weeks in advance. Everybody here knows what the tea is. So do we have to do this rehearsal dinner? Like, what are we doing?
And really like the thing that Azza actually cares about is that she doesn't want Brittany on the, like, and she's not really coming at it from the approach of, this is what I actually think makes sense for your game, Xavier. She's coming at it from the angle of, I have something that I want, which is Brittany not on the block, and I'm going to mm-hmm. try to come up with reasons for why that could maybe make sense.
And the Tiffany-ness of it all, like not having, yeah, just being Tiffany being obviously the one that has the upper hand here. Like it's I loved this entire, when watching this on feeds between Xavier and Azza was,
yes,
I loved it. I was like,
it was
wow,
so tense. I loved it.
Yeah.
It was very good.
We're gonna see Xavier call in Brent, telling him, "Hey, I really need you to compete for me." Brent says, "Oh, you mean like house guest choice? Like no, like on the block."
Yeah. Wait, no.
Not house guest choice. Like, in what world do you think we're talking about a veto draw?
Mm-hmm.
When it is Friday, and they already called my ass down to the DR. This was after Xavier already got called down to the DR. You think he's talking about a veto draw? Get out of here, Brent. Oh, my God. I just can't.
That doesn't look. I am highly intelligent, and I am not pawn material. That's not who I am. This is a really dumb idea. How are you this stupid?
Yes. This was funny. This was funny, and I was just like, they had to put it in there, and Brent. All he could say was like, I just look at me. I can't be on the pawn. I can't be on the block. They'll vote me out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's too big of a threat. I wouldn't do it to you.
It was hard watching this on feeds because Brent clearly knows what's going on. And he's just like, no, man, like, look, I'm going to go. God damn it, man. Like, damn it. Like you're putting me up. Like you're going to put me up and I'm going to be out of here, but please don't do it because we're supposed to be working together. I mean, if you don't do it, then we don't have to talk about this ever again and we'll be fine. But if you do it, then we're not going to be fine. So just don't do it. He's just in a corner. He's in a corner. He can't get out. I was just like, oh my God, I pray that if I ever end up in that house, that I do not have to go through something like that. Because that was just horrible. It was horrible to watch. Oh God.
I think that his arrogance just doesn't let him, like, it's like protecting him. It's like self-defense mechanism of like, no, I can't be going out here the third boot of the season. I'm too good. I'm so smart. I'm athletic. I'm such a good player that that's impossible. That this can't actually be happening.
Yeah, it's like, how would somebody be like, this is such a, I'm not a pawn. It's so obvious that I'm not a pawn. Why is he doing, he thinks he's, so he's clearly trying to target me, but what he doesn't realize is that I'm Brent and I have a whole army behind me. My whole team's going to be so mad at you, Xavier, for doing this. Do you not understand that? I can't believe just the things that go on in your mind. You clearly don't understand what's going on in this house, Xavier. You're not going to get me.
I honestly couldn't figure out, like, during this edit was, like, because he kept saying, like, I'm obviously not a pawn. I was like, okay, so are you saying that you're not a pawn because you've got muscles and you're an obvious target? Are you saying you're not a pawn because you know Xavier wants you out? Like, which one is it? Is it both? Like, what's going on? Like, help me understand, Brent. Like, what do you want from us?
Yeah, he made it seem like it was like the physical nature of it, or the, you know, the perception of it. Like, I am not a pawn. I'm a king. I move, you know, or whatever. Like, it seemed like in perception he was not a pawn. I don't, you know, Brent, I think he is a recruit. So maybe he is not very clear on what pawn material is for him to say that he's not it.
Yeah, it's wild. Between Brittany and Brent, they're both, you know, being fed. I'm not sure if Brittany is being fed that she's a pawn. Does Taryn, is that part of the Brittany story? Is she being told that she's just a pawn this week?
By everyone. The entire house is like, this is the whole thing, Brittany.
Well,
like,
except you're not except going home. Derek, because Derek F. was kind of like adding fuel to the fire with her.
Yeah, Big D is always like, Brittany will go to Big D. She's like, I was told that it's all about Brent and they're all sending Brent home. And Big D will be like, we'll see.
Yeah. I'm like, why are you doing this? Like, what is wrong with you?
You're not helping. Mm-hmm.
Just adding fuel to the fire.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, and they didn't show Xavier talking to Britt and explaining that she was a pawn and talking about his grand scheme to make it seem like she is the target, but she's really not. Like, he did talk to her about that before she went up, but they didn't show it.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So ultimately, we're going to get our nomination ceremony. And Brent, you're a hell of a competitor. We need you to win the veto. You got to stop Brittany. Somebody has
Rehearsal dinner. Like, what are we doing? It's so strange.
It's week three. Yeah. If we don't get her out now, who knows?
Yeah. Week three. You know, this is what happens.
We heard a lot about this speech and how mean-spirited it was toward Brittany, and how upset she was about it and how she's owed an apology. And of course, the speech is something along the lines of, I just feel like if you won, then I'd be one of the people that you would look at. So you're up there.
I feel like Brittany's DR. Wow. I feel like Brittany's DRs at the end of the episode were a lot less like tear stricken than I thought they would be, because she was clearly upset after, you know, being nominated for the second week in a row, obviously, you know, the pawn star of the house. But the DRs were very much more like, you know, I'm going to fight. I'm going to take myself off the block. So I was okay, good for you, Brittany. Good for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like Taryn said, I was really expecting something ridiculous from that speech, because she said he made it seem like she was the house villain and all this like really bad stuff, and that he needs to tell the house that she is not the house villain and an apology. He barely said two things about her. Like,
worth saying, it's always possible, if we only get it on the episode, that this was edited down. It happens all the time. But I mean, again, like at this point, like I'm just starting to doubt some of Brittany's exaggerations. I'm more inclined to believe that more inclined to believe that Xavier did not say something extremely mean-spirited in his speech, because that doesn't really make sense to begin with. And what he said made sense. So
yeah, it was real to her. Yeah. Unlucky 13 also turned out to be the number of days in a row Brittany will go on the block.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Not her counting the days like a prisoner with the tally marks.
All right, we're going to talk about the spoilers coming up here in just a moment. But first, I want to thank a sponsor for this episode of the podcast. Those are our friends over at Noon. Noon Hydration, Noon Sport makes your water work harder. It's hydration you can feel. Now, when you sweat, you lose vital electrolytes and minerals that your body needs in order to keep moving and recover efficiently. Noon Sport is optimized for hydration and mineral replenishment before, during, and after a workout. You just drop a fizzy tablet into your water to support your hydration anytime, anywhere. Noon Sport tablets are packed in convenient, easy-to-grab tubes so you can take your optimized electrolytes on the go. Noon Sport is made with only 1 gram of sugar and carefully sourced premium ingredients that are certified non-GMO, gluten-free, and vegan. Noon Sport is available in 13 different flavors, including fan favorite cherry limeade, which has an extra boost of caffeine, which I always appreciate. So to get your game-changing hydration, visit noon.life/Rob. That's noon.life/Rob. Enter promo code Rob for 25% off your first order at noon.life/Rob.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler
warning.
A spoiler
warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
Yes. Okay. All right. Taryn, it was looking bleak for Brent.
Well, luckily he's going to, what do you say? Clean the floor. What do you say?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
I bet in my notes.
Clean the floor with everyone in the veto.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not even going to zoom in. He had trouble in the veto. A floor needed to be cleaned, but not quite in the way that he imagined. And it was not Brent, but Christian, in fact, who went ahead and won the veto.
Yes, and much like a zit in the mirror. Looks like that Brent's hopes have been dashed.
Have been popped.
Yeah.
Yes.
And yes. Left on the mirror.
Oh. Sad yes. Story.
Yeah.
So does he know yet?
No, he still thinks he has the numbers.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And that was about to be my question to you, Taryn. Like, he thinks he has the numbers. So his team and what, the Queens, he's thinking? Because, you know, when you guys were talking about how Tiffany and Claire were doing the numbers to see if they could flip it, and the numbers were not there. So where does he think he's getting the numbers?
He still feels like Alyssa is, you know, on board, that his team, he's got a final two with Alyssa. He's working with the Queens, the Mafia. They're going to have his back. And so, you know, Xavier's going to be in for a rotten surprise on Thursday night.
Wow.
Wow. Well, hey, so Brent said he loves blindsides in his preseason interview.
He did.
He did say that.
He loves when people deserve it and they get blindsided.
Damn.
He's gonna love his own eviction.
Poetry of it all. The poetry. Oh.
Can somebody do a quick cut to me talking about Brent and this particular statement and how people that say that sort of thing are often the people that it ends up happening to? Because I'm pretty sure I said that.
I remember you saying that too during the draft, because I was over here, you know, trying to be a champion for him. But clearly I was blinded.
Do we think that Brent will accept the results of the vote on Thursday?
What? Julie, can you read that again? I am not third boot material.
Yeah,
I refuse this outcome. Actually,
I don't know.
Hold on,
it just seems like that he can't process this. I'm worried. Like, if his brain processes it, I'm worried he'll die.
Hold on. There's been a lot of research actually done on this situation, and I'm pretty sure
there's a lot of documents and books written on the subject, and it's pretty wild.
It's It's pretty wild.
Pretty wild.
Check the documents. Check the rule book.
Check the documents. Check the statements.
And it might be unanimous. The first unanimous vote here.
Wow.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah, I don't see anybody like, because what's the point? The whole house has been like it's Brent. So like, what's the point of throwing a hinky vote? I think he'll probably get clued in by somebody at some point before the end.
Also, if anything will get Frenchie on social media, it may be a unanimous Brent to be like, Jock Meathead, I told everybody, Dago Meathead.
I want the situation where Brent still doesn't know on eviction night and Julie says by a unanimous vote, and in those brief seconds, Brent goes, wow, everyone voted with me still. Mm-hmm. Everyone came around. Even Big D and Ozza voted with me this time. What?
It's going to be even worse. It's going to be even worse if that happens to him, because both of their names have a B and an R at the beginning. So, he's going to be like, bro, going to be good at
Julie going to drag it out.
Oh, man. What would be even better is, since I have compared him to Pauly, do we all remember Pauly versus Jose in week one of Big Brother 18? Pauly doing the look over to Jose, like, you're about to get blindsided, bro. I would love for Brent to do one of those. He wouldn't do it to Brittany, unfortunately, but maybe he would do it to Xavier. Maybe he'd give Xavier a look like, get ready.
Yeah. Yeah, Julie, you need to do Brittany, You Are Safe this week. You need to do that.
I don't know. Brittany, do we want Brittany freaking out again, though?
Like, she'll be all right. She can handle it. She'll be all right. She'll be safe.
Let me ask a question that, was Britney's rap too good on Thursday night? That did Xavier want to hear an encore?
Yeah, maybe. No, encore. Danger. The second mixtape to drop. We're all waiting on bated breath. We need it.
Should he have told her that? And like, I'm sorry, Britney, your rap was too good. I needed to hear more.
I don't think she would have appreciated it.
Okay. All right. So then, all right. Brent is dead man walking. So what's the latest then otherwise?
Just a lot of shifting going on in the house in terms of the power structure. Obviously, the Royal Flush Alliance is still running the show, but it's not quite that simple. There are a lot of competing interests within the Royal Flush Alliance and a lot of people who don't want to win HOH. And what we're really seeing, I kind of tried to describe this either this morning or yesterday. It blends together. But basically, the aces, the remaining aces, Whitney, Derek, and Hannah, are attempting to get a target on the Kings, Alyssa, Christian, and Xavier. They're not really targeting Sarah Beth so much. Mm-hmm. The Kings have been kind of working to get a target on the aces, particularly Whitney and Hannah. But it's also not quite that simple either, because both teams feel like they have a good relationship with one another and don't want to be the ones to take the shot at the other team, because both teams feel like the shot needs to be taken. But once it's taken, they can sweep in and influence the remaining members of that team. So both teams are kind of hoping that they can throw the HOH to the other team and have that team take a shot at the Jokers, or throw it to the Jokers so that the Jokers can take a shot at that other team. Meanwhile, the Queens are sitting like, why is this game so easy? That's pretty much what's going on.
Yeah. It seems like the house is getting a little tight in terms of like nobody is really wanting to be the person like to take like a big shot.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Yeah. They are all
calling test.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're all, waiting for, the next split to happen so that there's a power vacuum that they can swoop in and take advantage of.
Yeah.
But they can't be the ones to open that vacuum, because then they'll get sucked in. So they're all kind of like, I just need somebody else to do this for me.
To the point where. Yeah. Go ahead, Mari.
No, I was just gonna say, I think Taryn pointed it out this morning, but like all of the like consensual targets are like gone really now. So mm-hmm. now it's gonna be like, mm-hmm. okay, so whoever wins, each person is gonna have their own agenda and gonna be pushing for the different things, and we'll see who's gonna be the target based on who wins the power, like for real now. Yep. So things should really, really heat up, and I'm excited.
I guess my question is, like, everybody's been happy with Big Brother 23, but did they actually fix the game, or is it just that the majority, like, group of like 9-10 people just happens to be popular, as opposed to in previous seasons where it was the opposite, where the audience was rooting for the people that were getting picked off, and it just so happens that this is a season where the people who are in power, like the group of 9-10, the undeniable this season, happens to be the fan favorites, and they're just picking off the people that the audience doesn't like?
I kind of thought that might be the case at the tail end of last week, but I think this week has shown me that it's really not. It's really that, these people are popular for a reason. Mm-hmm. Every single one of them has their own perspective and motivation in the game, and they're all trying to get one up on their allies, and they're constantly shifting and repositioning, and it's causing a constant flux of like who is aligned with who and who's targeting who for what reason. And the game is still, plotting on somewhat steadily, but what's happening underneath is just constant flow. And that makes it very interesting, and it makes it very easy to root for many of these people because none of them are just sitting back and letting it happen, which is one of the reasons why you often get very frustrated even within the, even with the members within that alliance, everybody loved Enzo for a while until they didn't. Right. And so we don't really have any Enzos like, it's too early. It's too early. We have a lot of people that are like, okay, we need to be over here. We just saw them go over there. We need to be over here now. And it's been very interesting so far.
Okay.
And then on top of that, all of the, well, not all of them, with the exception of Travis, the targets that the house has had so far have been very well deserved. I mean, we all know what Frenchie did. We all know how Brent has been making a lot of the women in that house feel. So it is very easy to rally behind a lot of these house guests right now in terms of these big targets. And yeah, I agree. I think it's sort of like a lot of the meat and potatoes of what made BB Can 9 so great to watch is that there were so many players of like a similar messy game acumen just running around the house. And now we have the same thing, but like everyone's playing on like a little bit of a higher level. We have lots of super fans in this cast that want to do well, that are very aware of the fact that they are being watched and know that their game is going to be judged. And so I think that just really just strengthens the gameplay that we're seeing, and it's been a lot of fun. So
and you really just can't underscore enough how good the casting is this season. Again, not only with the diversity, but the super fans, the people who actually want to play, like both Amon and Taryn pointed out. So the game itself, I had this exact same question, I think, when we were watching BB22. It's like, is the game broken or is it the casting? And so far, it seems like that shift in casting has really improved the game so far. But also the team twist thing, this team twist, when we first saw it the first week, it was kind of like, what is this even, happening? It wasn't affecting the game because the way Frenchie ran his HOH, it had no effect on really what was going on. But then Kylan's HOH, that second HOH, like Taryn mentioned, he grabbed the reins and essentially he forced them into their teams. He forced them back into the individual teams and made the individual teams have to work together. And it's really interesting to see how Kylan, it looks like Kylan's HOH will be the bedrock and the foundation of this game moving forward, which I appreciate because I couldn't take too many more Frenchie weeks.
Kylan stabilized it.
Yeah. Big Brother Canada 9, throughout it, we were saying, this is what you get when you get a bunch of people who are playing hard that are around the same skill level. And, it wasn't the highest skill level, but it was very entertaining.
But it was fun.
We did ask the question, like, okay, what would happen, though, if we took a cast like this and just upped the skill level? And that's basically what we have right now. Mm-hmm. We have a cast of very likable, diverse players who are all playing hard and they're all playing well and they all know the game pretty well. And even the people that don't know the game very well are learning very quickly because it's a cast full of people who know the game very well. And so they're catching on and they're being taught. And so this is something that we don't often see in Big Brother, which is a cast full of actual players who are actually playing well. And it's exciting.
Okay. Let's take a couple of questions to here tonight. Here's a question from Brittany, not Brittany in the house. Taryn, do you think that Derek X is playing a good game right now by aligning himself more closely with the kings and queens rather than the aces?
So that's actually something that he's trying to bridge that gap. Even just today, he was trying to. He's one of the reasons why the Kings are less willing to take a shot at Whitney yet. That they're more likely to want to throw the competition than win it and target Whitney, and that's primarily because Derek X has been putting in work for Whitney to protect his team, the Aces, because he does feel like, yeah, I'm in good with this group. That's great. I'm cool with Kylan. I'm cool with Tiffany, but I'm kind of on the bottom of this. And he's bonding with Hannah and he's bonding with Whitney over getting rid of Brent. And he's realizing that these are kind of my people and I want to protect them. So he's been lobbying to essentially get the Queens to look at the Aces a bit more. And that, hey, the Kings need to have somebody take a shot at them at some point as well. So, I would say that he is working closely with the Aces or the Kings and the Aces, yes, but he's using that connection to try and protect his team, the Aces. And I think that is the right direction for him.
Okay. There's a question from Michelle wants to know, what would have happened if Brittany won the wild card and Brent ended up safe by chance?
Probably
the target would have been Whitney and probably would have been a Claire pawn.
Yeah, probably.
It probably would have been Claire.
Yeah.
Claire was 0 for the episode tonight.
Yeah.
She's waiting. She's coming.
Claire's coming.
It's happening.
Yeah.
Okay. She's doing plenty of stuff, you know. When everybody is playing well, like they can only show so many people at the end of the day, right?
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. Lily wants to know, should Tiffany have let Brittany win the safety comp so Xavier didn't have a choice but to put Whitney up as the pawn?
No. That's not what she wanted. Because she knew that if Brittany wasn't available as a pawn, then all of a sudden, if Whitney or Brent ends up safe via the wild card or the veto, now all of a sudden Claire might have to go up, and that was definitely a no-go. So that's why it was so important that Brittany lose that competition.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I like this question. Xavier's bucket hat wants to know, can we believe Xavier's diary rooms? Did he really want this HOH?
I mean, it didn't seem, did he really, he wasn't, he was like, yeah, I got HOH, cool. Like, it didn't seem like he was like, yes, I'm really excited, you know.
He definitely didn't go into that comp wanting it, but yeah. I don't necessarily think that it was that bad. I mean, he was just on the feeds today talking about after, or yesterday maybe, after Christian won the veto, he's like, okay, great. So I won a comp. Now Christian has won two comps. So like now I'm not going to be seen as big of a threat. So we're good now. Brent's going to be out of here. So you know, it's a seamless HOH. I'm good. So like, yeah. I don't think he really wanted it, but I think that he did everything in his power to make sure that the HOH was as smooth as possible.
Oh yeah. He's trying to get out of this HOH with as little HOH stink on him as possible, right? Like, if people forgot that he was HOH next week, that would be the ideal situation for Xavier.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And his other diaries are just, they're amazing. I love him in his, it's just the whole time, like, why? So.
All right. Anything else tonight, Big Brother 23?
I liked this episode. I still think they're struggling to keep up with everything that's going on, but this was a much more valiant attempt than last week was. They caught us up on a few things. And I think the real reason why I think this episode worked was because the wild card competition was a lot more fun this time around. Last time it was kind of a bore, and it didn't really go anywhere and it didn't result in anything. This one was fun to watch while it was happening. It did cause some drama afterward. And so it really played out well, and it felt like it was worth the time that they spent on it. And prior to that, we got some Brent stuff. We caught up with Derek and Hannah. We got some Tiffany stuff. So it felt like a really solid episode overall. And I'm hoping that we get a slightly better trajectory for the episodes this week that were, you know, last week so focused on Frenchie. We don't need to focus too much on Brent for the rest of this week. Hopefully we don't. Hopefully we get some more of the rest of the house. That would be my hope moving forward. But I did really like this episode.
I will say, I don't want to sound too preachy, so I'll keep it brief, but I have seen a lot of conversation this past week about the cookout and how there are some people that feel a little bit uncomfortable with how, you know, they are looking out for one another. And a lot of people don't like the fact that it's sort of like, it seems to be this race-based thing. We've even seen it happen in the house with Brent sort of having a little bit of frustration because he believes that Ozza offered herself to go up, but Xavier didn't want to put her up because she's black, and that's crazy. Just put her up. And I just want to remind people, like, I mean, just, you know, contextualized everything, you know, every, like, Big Brother has long since had a problem with the casting, and the diversity is a big reason as to why we have the cast that looks the way that it does now. And as far as the African-Americans that are involved in this cast, all of them are super fans. All of them have been watching the show for a long time. All of them know what this show has had happen for the past 20 plus years. And so they all feel a duty to change the system. And so I believe it was Mary who was on the morning update that said it might be a little bit different in the future when people watch this season and they see, oh, look, all the African Americans sort of banded together. And so it might not be as viable a strategy in later seasons. And I want to remind people that this is just an effort to change things, progress, move forward, break out of these stupid patterns that we've had for the past two decades. And yeah, it might, you know, it's going to make people uncomfortable. I get it. Like, I know that it's not, it's making them uncomfortable. Even Ozza. I mean, she was sort of going back and forth with a lot of these notions this past week. So it's certainly not like an airtight process, but I think that it is something that is so necessary. And I think it's something that has made me really fall in love with the show again, because I feel, as a fan, validated that people like me and other minorities can actually have a space to play this game without always feeling like, oh my God, I'm screwed because I'm the only one. You know what I mean? They're no longer the only ones. And so I just want people to just give these players a little bit more grace. And the show is still going to be fun. I mean, we're having such I'm having a good time. So it's been great. I just wanted to say that.
Yes, and I loved everything you just said, Amon, and I want to piggyback. Let's also remember that the cookout came together to watch each other's backs and just to say, you know, we have each other's backs. You know, we're here for a greater purpose. We want to push as far as we can push. They did not come together on, like, anything hateful, you know what I'm saying? Like, we've seen with alliances in the past. So that's why I appreciate them. I think they have come from a place of just love for each other and propping each other up and trying to help each other get through this difficult house and this difficult situation. So nothing that they've done so far to me has warranted for me to be upset about them being an alliance. So I appreciate seeing this. This just warms my heart as a Big Brother fan who's been watching for years upon years upon years and have to suffer through so many different horrendous alliances, you know, and just choke it back. And to see an alliance that is just not even just that they're there for each other, but they're also working their own games too.
Yeah. Like, I mean, we're seeing it.
Yeah.
Tiffany and Ozza are not, they're like, look,
yeah.
So that's even the best. That's like even the best thing about it. Like they came to play. They're not in some big alliance and half of them aren't don't even know what's going on, you know, or being led. Like we're getting the best of both worlds with this Cookout Alliance. Mm-hmm. So I really do appreciate everything they're doing. And I love to see it. And I love to see all the other alliances that have been forming this season, because this is honestly a really good cast. And somebody made a point in the chat, like, maybe this is also what happens when you get lawyers and kindergarten teachers and you know, CEOs as opposed to influencers and Instagram models. Yep.
There's a lot of things at play here. It's not just strictly the race of the players. There's a lot going on right now.
So I love it. I appreciate it. I agree with everything Amon said. And this has just been amazing. I'm so glad I could be on this recap with you guys.
Thank you both for adding that. I think it's going to be really fun to watch, because I do think you have a lot of like really self-interested players that are out there. And I think that this thing could still go in a lot of different directions. And I think it's not necessarily like a foregone conclusion that the Cookout is going to be the final five people in the game. I would bet that they probably won't end up being the final five of the season. So I think it's going to be a very interesting journey to see like where this thing ultimately ends up going. Because I think people are going to eventually look up and say like, yeah, but I might have a better chance to win if I went in this specific direction. So I think it's going to be a wild ride. And I do think that you have a couple of people like at the bottom of the season, like a Frenchie and Brent, that are like all time bad players also, which have made things like, some of the straightforwardness might be attributed to that.
Yeah, that's what I keep going back to. It's like, because I think it was Alyssa and Christian that were talking on the feeds earlier, talking about like it's just been straight white men that have been out of here. But I'm like, I mean, well, let's talk about what happened though, because Frenchie was out here doing crazy stuff, and Brent is like it's they probably like no matter what race they were, that they would have been out of here. Like it's just a lot. So
what's kind of interesting is that Brent really is like a Pauly or a Jackson, like who have found lots of success in previous seasons.
Yeah. Usually there's five of them though.
Yeah, exactly. With a different cast makeup, maybe would have found success. And maybe, you know, it was an interesting situation that played out where Whitney and Hannah had never really connected. And that's because Hannah thought that Whitney was digging what Brent was selling, buying what Brent was selling. And Whitney thought that Hannah was buying what Brent was selling. They were both kind of suffering in silence. And when they finally both realized that they thought he was a creep, they were like, oh my God, this is amazing. And they bonded. But I feel like in a lot of seasons, they wouldn't have had that opportunity because Brent would have stayed in power with the Slaughterhouse all season long. And it would have been a different story. And I think that is, again, a testament to the diverse casting that we have right now and the overall just level of maturity and intelligence that we have on this cast.
Okay. All right. Great way to wrap things up. All right. Let's talk about what's coming up here on Rob is a Podcast. Tomorrow we'll be live with The Slop. Jason Reed will be our guest. We are looking around 6 Eastern for The Slop. If you see Slop happening, robiswebsite.com/getsloppy for that. Of course, tomorrow morning it's going to be another Maggie Monday, Taryn.
There it is. She'll be back to talk with me about everything that's going on today. There's already been a lot of game talk today. Again, a lot of maneuvering between the kings, the queens, and the aces. I'm even seeing some of it right now. It's a bit messy because it's so all over the place and every single individual takes their own initiative. So there's a lot to talk through, but we'll have a lot of fun.
Okay, always fun when Maggie stops by the morning update. Check that out tomorrow morning. On Tuesday night, looks like Melissa is going to be back for the roundtable with Jacob Jones.
Jacob Jones, he'll be here. He'll rate some players. We'll all rate some players. We'll have some fun. We'll update the stock watch. We'll talk about the whole week at large on the feeds and what's been going down. It's always a good time. If you can only catch one real live feed podcast a week, that's the one. We talk about everything from the week and we go through each player one by one. Have a lot of fun with it. So make sure you check it out.
Okay. And then Wednesday night, we'll be back with another great panel. Melissa will join us on Wednesday night. Grace Leader and Chappelle on Wednesday night to talk about everything that goes on in the veto episode. Hope you can join us then. Over the weekend, I talked about the 10th best Survivor season of all time. It was Survivor Token Sheens with Ali Lasher. And Jordan Kalish had a very fun chat about Survivor Token Sheens and that no rest for the weary, because then on Tuesday night, I will be talking about the 9th best season of Survivor, Survivor Cambodia, with Dr. Christian Hubicki.
Yeah. Hey.
Yes. Okay. Nice. If you were looking to, like, I don't know if Bet Online has odds for what could be the longest podcast in the history of Rob's podcast, then maybe put a chip on that one. We'll see. We'll see on Tuesday night. Of course, a lot of other great stuff going on. Amon, you and Liana got together for the latest episode of All Star 6 Drag Race.
Yes. Yes, we did, baby. I mean, the season started off strong and it's starting to piss me and Liana off, but it's okay. We still doing it. Okay. We out here.
All right, check that out in our Rehap-Ups feed. And then, Mari, what a great lineup you had on the wrestling Rehap-Up. You and Matt had on Chappelle and Jacob Jones.
Yes, that is, it was one of my all-time favorites to record. We were cutting up, so you can go and check all four of us out. We're on YouTube. Rob has a podcast, YouTube. And we're also, you can find the Wrestling Rehap-Up on the podcast feed. But that was fun. Everybody loves Chappelle. I love Chappelle. Jacob is hilarious. There was a moment that we almost handed him the keys again.
Yes, you let him host the podcast after now.
Yes. Everybody left. He was just as unprepared as he was the first time, but it was such a great podcast with the two of them.
Yes.
We had so much fun.
All right, check that out in our Wrestling Rehap-Up feed or in the Rehap-Ups feed. And then over the weekend, I had a chance to catch up on Love Island, and I joined Kirsten McInnes and Brian Scally to talk about the week of Love Island leading up to Casa Amore. And
yes, Rob.
Operation Heart Attack is in full effect because I am covering way too many shows. And I enjoyed it. I had fun watching Love Island. I'm going to keep watching.
I love Love Island. Like, I'm really not one for the dating shows, but Love Island, I'm here for it. I really appreciate that show.
Love it.
Yeah. All right, Love Island, and then, Wednesday, we're doing a patron cast, Wednesday at 1. Look, we got Big Brother all these nights, got the Survivor panel. We're doing a patron cast during the day. We're trying to find the time to do it. If you're around on Wednesday for the patrons of Rob's podcast, we're going to do that at 1 Eastern, fancy new graphic for the patron cast, calling in and talking to the patrons of Rob's podcast, of course. We also did our patron orientation earlier tonight, posted that in the patron up on Patreon as well. All that stuff and more at robswebsite.com/patron. And then, of course, you can check out all of the offers from our sponsors at robswebsite.com/offers. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel or watch us on Twitch. And then, of course, follow us on social media at Rob's Podcast on Twitter or at RJP Grams on Instagram. All right, Amon, what's coming up for you?
You can always find me on Twitter at Amon Adwin. Same with Instagram, same with Twitch. Still doing some Harry Potter. We are in the middle of Goblet of Fire. I had Frail Mary on with me this past week. It was a lot of
fun. Did she dress as Harry Potter?
She did not, but you know, we're gonna lead up to it. We're like I said before, I'm really focused on creating a very immersive experience with my Harry Potter narration. So be on the lookout for all of that stuff.
Yes. Okay. Well, this was an immersive experience tonight, Amon.
Thank you, Rob.
Yes. Okay. Always love having you on the recaps. So happy anytime we get to have you on with us, Mari. What's coming up for you?
So I will be on the 90 Day Fiancé podcast with Puya. That should be dropping this week.
So good this week.
Yeah, back into knee deep into the mess.
Yes.
Waist deep, elbow deep with 90 Day Fiance. Of course, you can catch me and Matt Scott at the Wrestling Wrap Up every weekend covering all things wrestling, WWE, AEW, all of that. Even if you don't watch, if you're a casual fan, a lapsed fan, or you don't watch at all, come check us out. We make it fun and inclusive for everyone.
And Mari's so thorough.
Yes.
One of the most prepared podcasters it's incredible.
Yes, almost too thorough, but we try. We got to get through everything, and we want to do it in a fun way. And if anything, start with this last one that me, Chappelle, and Jacob and Matt did, because it was really fun. We were just joking around the whole entire time. Also, you can follow me on Twitter at Mari Talks Too Much. That's two, like the number two. You can always find me there. Other than that, every week, Wrestling Wrap Up.
Yeah. All right. Mari, a great job once again here tonight. And then Taryn, what's coming up for you?
You can find me on Twitch, of course, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. I watch the episodes live with you guys on there. And of course, you can find me doing the live feed updates every morning. Again, on Tuesday, we'll have the roundtable. And then, you'll see me around. You can find me on Twitter as well, at Armstrong Taryn.
Okay. All right.
I mean, just at this point, give me the number to whoever you use as movers, because it's starting to piss me off now, to be honest.
Right. Like, do we need to make a phone call? Do we have to talk to them?
I've made many phone calls, believe me.
Like, I can do it. I'll do like the, Aman, you'll know this, your mama calling the A building for college. Like, that's the type of phone call I'll make for you, Taryn.
Oh,
you'll have your stuff there.
Yeah, we'll get there. We'll make it happen.
All right. Thank you all so much for joining us here tonight. We'll be back with another Big Brother recap on Wednesday. Until then, take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye. Support for this podcast comes from our friends over at Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do, and it's hard work, but you know what's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too. You're busy enough. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see how much you can save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today.